as we lead into our scripture this morning, and saying that as we're coming into this, if you read a little bit earlier in chapter 11, then you will see that this is Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. We normally recite the one from Matthew. It looks a little bit more familiar to us, but this is Luke's rendition of the Lord's Prayer. And he's telling us about how we can relate to our Heavenly Father. But he uses a word that would have been shocking in this culture, because in the Hebrew culture, it was not okay to say God's name out loud. It wasn't even okay to write it fully. If they ever wanted to indicate God, they would use the consonants only, because God was too high and God was too holy. And yet when Jesus is teaching us about our Heavenly Father, he says, do this when you want to be in relationship with him. When you want to come into his presence, then you can call him by name. You can call him Abba. Abba is Aramaic for daddy. Sometimes we have this formal relationship with fathers, father, grandfather, grandmama, very formal names. And for the Hebrew culture, they knew about God, but they felt like he was too high and too holy that they couldn't even speak of his name without bringing him down to us. And yet here was Jesus saying, this is the kind of God you have. This is the kind of Father you have. It's one who wants an intimate relationship with you, so much so you can call him Daddy. So let's take a look into our passage for today. It comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. And I'll invite you to remain seated. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And we are grateful for the scriptures and especially for these teachings of Christ who teach us to know and understand and fall in love with our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, who wants to give us good things, that we can call him Abba, Daddy. So let's take a look at our outline this morning. If you'd like to fill in the blanks along the way, the first one is that God invites us into his presence. Now, the whole idea about coming into the presence of God is a little bit strange, because when we get older, we learn that God is omnipresent, so we are always in his presence. Sometimes we just don't acknowledge it. So when God is inviting us to come into his presence, he's inviting us to come through the power of prayer. And that's how Jesus is teaching us how we can relate to our Heavenly Father. And so we have this understanding of God that he's everywhere. And yet sometimes we're just not even aware. And so we stop, we pause, and we come into his presence, invite him to come into ours through this gift and through the power of prayer. I wanted to speak just a little bit, because I know sometimes some churches and some pastors, some seminaries have trouble even calling God Father. And I wanted to speak to that, because sometimes it has to do with having poor conceptions of our own earthly fathers. And we just have to candidly admit our own earthly fathers, sometimes they weren't as good as we had hoped that they would be. Or sometimes they weren't as loving as we had hoped that they would be. And sometimes there are even fathers out there who have intentionally hurt their children. This is not the kind of God that we serve. But Jesus is trying to help us to understand. And so if you're one of those who was hurt by your father this morning, I want to say, I am sorry. And I also want you to know that's not the kind of God we have. The kind of God we have is the kind of daddy you wish you always had. One who you can run into his arms and he will love you and care for you and nurture you and give you everything that you truly ever wanted in life. To be accepted, to be embraced, to be loved. This is the kind of God, Abba, Father. And so I think we continue. Anytime we try to describe God, we actually diminish him because he is an infinite God. And so it's hard for us to understand, but the ideal Father is what Jesus is trying to say. This is how our God loves us, because he loves us as his children. Now, I also want to share with you a story that I remember from seminary. And it was about a pastor who had his office was in his home. And he had small children at home at the time. And the rule was, if daddy was in his office and the door was closed, there was no running up and down the hall, you couldn't be screaming or anything like that. And certainly, if anything else, you are not allowed to come and knock on that door, because daddy might be with somebody or he's doing the important work of God. And so do not disturb him. And the professor looked at us and said, if you have an office in your home, don't be that kind of dad. And because sometimes what happened in this particular case is the young boy who grew up with his father, the pastor, who had the door shut, he grew up with a misperception of who God really is. And he didn't get the concept as God as daddy. He got the concept of God as being too high, too holy, too important, and the door was always shut, and don't even think about coming and knocking and bothering him with your little petty problems. So the young man grew up with a poor misconception of God. And so the professor just looked at us and said, don't be that kind of pastor. Don't be that kind of dad. And so even though I did have an office in the home for a short time, I tried to be that dad that even if the door was closed, because I'm trying to concentrate, the door was never locked and you are always welcome to come in. I wanted to be that kind of dad that was more like James Dobson. He said he had an office in the home, and the kids always knew that daddy was available to them, even if the door was shut. And he told the story about one time when his son was young, and he was right in the middle of a counseling session, and his son just barged in through the door, and James looked at him and said, yes, son, can I help you? And he said, can't do my zipper. He's like, okay, reached over there, helped him up with a zipper, patted him on the bottom, that's all he needed, and he took off again. But that's the kind of pastor, that's the kind of daddy that I wanted to be, was that even if the door is shut, all you need to do is come and knock, open the door. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching us about our Heavenly Father. What's it say in here? It says, to ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Some of you have this misperception or this concept of God that he's a distant God, he's a remote God, he's too far away. And yet what he is saying is, I am right here and I am with you all the time. All you have to do is knock, seek, ask, and I will open the door to you, and you can come and be where I am. God is that loving Abba, Father, Daddy, who longs for his children to come and to be with him in his presence. And so if you're one who feels far away today, or maybe you thought God was angry with you about something and that you have been shied away from him, he's calling out to you to say, no, my son, my daughter, I love you and I want to come into your presence and have you come into mine. Ask, seek, and knock. The second thing this morning is God longs to give us good things. Every father wants to give their children the good things in life. Daddies long to see their children happy. They love to see them cared for. And we always want the very best for our children. Now, I will say, when I was reading through this scripture and preparing for it, and Jesus is actually just making a contrast here. He said, but if you as father, which one of you, if your son asks for a fish, and that's what they would ask for if they were hungry in this culture, said, which one of you, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now, here's where the contrast comes in. Jesus says, if you who are evil, it's like, ow, ouch. But he's making the contrast that God is so far above us in love and goodness for his children. He's saying, even if you as earthly fathers know how to give good things to your children and you want to do what's right and best for your children, how much more so does your heavenly Father want to give you good things? In the book of James, James writes that you have not because you ask not, and if you have not and you've asked for it, you've asked with wrong heart and you've asked with wrong motives and you've asked for the wrong things because some of you are still waiting. How many of you remember the Janis Joplin song, you know, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive choir. Porsches, that's right. I must make amends. You know, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? You know, Dial-a-thon is looking for me. They want to give me their wealth and their riches. And we're asking for all these kinds of things. And yet God is saying, that's not the right kind of things to ask for. He's making a contrast here between earthly things and heavenly things. Many of you have lived 60, 70, 80 years. Some of you are still getting there. Some of you are even over and above that. But all the things that we think that are going to make us happy on this earth that are earthly, it's a lie. And it comes, smells like smoke and comes straight from the pit of hell. Those aren't the things that will make you happy eternally. God doesn't want you happy. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to seek after the really good things of life. I myself am trying to be, and I'm not there yet, I'm still working on it, but trying to be like the Apostle Paul, who says, I have learned to be content in all situations, with all things. I know what it's like to have much. I know what it's like to have plenty, and I know what it's like to be in need. But as long as I have Jesus Christ, I have everything that I will ever need. I have learned to be content in all circumstances. God wants us to have the good things, but the good things are not earthly things. What does it say within the context of this passage this morning? It says here at the end, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Abba, Daddy, Father. He wants us to have the good things in life, and sometimes we have been confused about what the good things are. Jesus says, don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about having a place to lay your head. That's not the important thing. The most important thing is having eternal life through the gift of Jesus Christ, through the Heavenly Father, but it comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Number three is the secret to provision, power, wisdom, and eternal salvation is the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last few weeks, and we've been talking about how it's easy to understand God, the Creator and the Father. We got a picture of that. And Jesus, the Son, and he was incarnate. He was made in flesh, and he dwelt among us. We can get a picture of that. But sometimes the Holy Spirit is the forgotten part of the Trinity because he has no body. He is spirit, and it's hard for us to really grasp and understand. And so this morning, I want you to know that if you feel like you've been missing something in your life, if you feel like you're this close and yet so far, Maybe it's because you don't have enough of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, I will tell you that each and every one of you who has heard the good news, you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you have the Holy Spirit already working in your life. You just didn't know it. He works in God's prevenient grace for us, but he's the one that leads us into conviction. He's the one that leads us into a saving faith in Jesus Christ. But sometimes I believe when people get justified, when they believe, when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they kind of stop short and they really don't know that there is so much more to eternal life than just getting saved. It's also being sanctified and going on to glory. And the only way that can happen is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so some of you this morning, you're wondering what everybody's excited about. You haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I want you to know your Heavenly Father, your Abba, your daddy loves you. Even if you don't know him, he knows you. And he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for your sins. And he is inviting you into an eternal relationship with him by believing, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. But also there are some of us here who just feel like we're going through the motions. How's that for robot, huh? Yeah, okay. Yeah. You just feel like you're going through the motions. You came to church today because you always go to church on Sunday. That's what we do. Some of you are here for Father's Day. God bless you for that. God bless the fathers. And yet there's so much more to life. And we want to get to that place of passion like we see in the Apostle Paul, or like what Jesus is telling us is there and available for us. It is the good thing to have, and the good thing is the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for each and every one of us this morning as we're understanding more about our Heavenly Father, about our Abba, about our Daddy, that he also longs to pour out that power of the Holy Spirit so that we can take that flicker of a flame of faith and turn it into a raging fire inside of us, that we would truly see, desire, and want the eternal life that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.